Yom Rishon, Parshas. Okay, Miketz. We're going to be talking about. We're talking about Chanukah this morning, Rabbi Yisai. I'm going to give a shiur for women on Chanukah tomorrow evening at 8:30, Bez Hashem. Okay. Today I'd like to start with a Rashi. A Rashi in Parshas Zayis HaBrocha. It's going to be a little connected. Several different things. Zayis HaBrocha, Rashi, Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud, Yud Aleph, excuse me. Barech Hashem Cheloi, Ufoal Yodov Tirtzeh. Hashem will bless Chelo, their work. Ufoal Yodov Tirtzeh. Everybody got it? What page?
1116.
So then read the English, please, on verse 11, on page 1116, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Bless, O Hashem, his resources, and favor the work of his hands. Smash the loins of his foes. And
smash. His smash the loins of his foes, whom his son of minyan kumon, and what? From his enemies?
That they may not rise.
Says Rashi. Machatz masnayim komov. Machatz komov makas masnayim. Kinyishinema masnayim tomid amad al ma'irim al kuhuna amake. Dobarach. Here we go. Ro shasidin chashmanoi uvonav li lochem emay yavonim. He saw that the chashmanoyim and his sons are going to fight with the yavonim. Vispalo aleyim. And he davened for them. Moshe Rabbeinu is davening now for the chashmanoi uvonav. Lefi. Why was he davening? They were very few. What does very few mean? Yud Beis, Vnei Chashmonoi. There were 12 Vnei Chashmonoi Ve'alozah. 13 people. 13 people. Keneged Kama Rebobos, corresponding to many tens of thousands. Tens of thousands. Kach Nebu Baruch Hashem Chelof Ol Yodov Tirtzeh. What does that mean? Keneged Kama Rebobos. What does that mean? Tens of thousands. Let's make it a small number. Kama Rebobos, let's make it 30,000 against 13. How much is that? One against how much? One against a lot. Okay, good. One against a lot. It's one against between 2,500 and 3,000. It's not that it's irrelevant. It's more than irrelevant. Physically, it's not shaykh to comprehend. How does one person fight 3,000 people? 3,000 people just walk in against the one person. Nothing to do. What's he going to do? 3,000 people against one person. It's not shaykh. So it's impossible to comprehend. Unless he has he has bombs and they have swords. I mean, what's the shaykhus? He has an aircraft carrier and they have rowboats. I mean, what's the shaykh? Teretz is, if you just came from this bris, Kodesh Baruch Hu can do whatever he wants. You can have 13 people against Kama Rebobos. It could be it's 30, it could be it's 40, it could be 50, it could be 100,000. 13 people. Make any sense? So Shabbat can do whatever he wants, right? Otherwise, if you don't have that phraseology, Rambo couldn't do such a thing. Schwarzenegger couldn't do such a thing. It's not Shaykh. 3,000. Doesn't make any sense. This is a book. You may not appreciate every line of the book without learning in yeshivas, maybe. But this is such an unbelievable book. I'm in my, I think it's my third time now reading it. It's my third time reading it. In 1931, 5691, the Polish government enacted a law which sounds so irrelevant to us nowadays. The Polish government enacted a law that would make teaching the state language compulsory in all schools. Gotta learn Polish. Chofetz Chaim called an emergency meeting of all Gedolei Torah. This is found in the book on Rav Baruch Ber on page 268. What happened? Chofetz Chaim called an emergency meeting of all the Gedolei Torah, Rosh Yeshiva and Hasidic Rebbes. At that meeting, which lasted several days, almost all participants spoke. Chofetz Chaim was nearing the end of his life. He was very weak. Okay. But Rav Baruch Bass sat next to Chofetz Chaim. He said, I saw that he heard everything that everybody said. At the end of the emergency meeting, it was decided that Chofetz Chaim himself would lead a delegation to Poland's Minister of Education to ask him in person to repeal the decree. You know what this means for the Chofetz Chaim, his 91-year-old, to go? Have any idea what it means? A wagon parked in front of Chofetz Chaim's door. It was in the middle of a very difficult winter. Our teacher came out of the house, got into the wagon. This is for something else he went to do, which I'll tell you about in a moment. And set off for Vilna in order to strengthen the observance of the laws of Tyrus and Mishpach. They put a huge charcoal heater into the wagon and covered the Chofetz Chaim with heavy blankets and pillows. We could not believe our eyes the way he went to Vilna. In a wagon. You ready? Now listen to this. Back to where he's going. He's going to the Polish Minister of Education. He says like this. Before the journey, Chofetz Chaim addressed the members of the delegation and said, each of us must be ready to go with Mesiras Nefesh. It appears that the complaint against us in Shemayim was that we have been waxed in Avodas Hashem. Therefore, the only way to rectify the situation is Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh. With that, he burst into tears. Rav Baruch Bass asked him, Rebbe, why are you crying? Because I want each one of you to take upon yourself Mesiras Nefesh. To which Rav Baruch Bass said to the Chofetz Chaim, all of us are prepared to sacrifice our souls for the smallest detail kutzo shel yod in the Holy Torah. You hear what's going on? During a meeting regarding the Bolshevik decrees that were decided to wipe out Torah observance in Russia, the Chofetz Chaim said that the Russian Jewry had erred by not taking up arms and fighting the Bolsheviks. Although the Bolsheviks and their decrees were supported by the Russian army in all its might, so such a war would involve much sacrifice. Not much sacrifice. Would have been impossible. Chofetz Chaim maintained that it would have weakened the forces of impurity, and in the end, the Jews would have won. What, a bunch of yeshiva bachrim before the Muhammad fighting the Russian army? It's like a galechta. It's bigger than a galechta. It's not shaykh. When was the Yom Kippur War? 1973? In 1973, I was walking home from shul during Sukkot. I said to Rabbi Soloveitchik, I want to go there to Israel and fight the army. They need people. I'm going to go. I was in good shape. So Rabbi Soloveitchik told me, he said he heard from the State Department that China's already massing troops, and if they hear from America that people are going, they'll misconstrue it, and they're going to go to war against Eretz Yisrael, the whole Chinese army. And then he tells me like this, he never did this to me ever. In all the years I spoke to him, he turned to me and he said to me, he poked me in the solar plexus, and he said to me, the worst guy in the Chinese army is in better shape than the best guy in any yeshiva. So you just stay home and die. The yeshiva guy is going to go fight the Bolshevik army, but going to go fight the Russian army. In the end, the Jews would have won. Chanav Asman added that in the days of the Greek Empire, there had been similar decrees. Although the Hashemite were a small minority, he took them to sword for the sake of the Torah. The Jewish people came, may Hashem perform miracles for them, and they eventually won. Rashi says 13 people fight Kamar above us. We said it's because of the Yad Hashem. Gevaldik! For how you zeich to the Yad Hashem? That's the kasha. Of course the Kodesh Baruch can do anything. Two people can beat a million people. But what do you need in order to get that happening? Mesiras Nefesh. That's not easy. Hearing these words, Chofetz Chaim said to fight. Rabbeinu arose from his seat and headed to the wood-burning stove, the Baruch Bear. He's called the iron poker. Remember what iron pokers, and they used to use them in the what do we have in our house? In our houses, what? fireplaces. They used to still have those. People had them for designs when I was a kid. Nobody had a real fireplace that was working. They had those. On one side, they had a few things. The other side, they had a few things. They were very, you know, they were bronze, and so they were shiny, and they looked very shoddy, you know. And the kids would take them around the house. And he took hold of the iron poker and said to the Chofetz Chaim, Rebach Ver, and Alti Yid. This is early 1930s. Chofetz Chaim is in his 90s, and Rebach Ver is in his 70s. He never was in the inside of a workout room in his life for Baruch Ver. He never did exercise to build up his muscles ever in his lifetime. Rebbe! He takes the poker. Rebbe! Megait! He takes the poker, Rebbe Megait. Well, time answered, it was too late. Now armed warfare would not help. Physical fighting would not be able to stop what had already begun. It was too late. Weissdeutsch in the Chofetz Chaim came a dice sign in the Mishnah Berurah. Weissdeutsch, now what? It would have been a few years ago. Baruch Ber with a poker from the fireplace would have got to fight the Russian army. You ever read anything about world history? When the Nazis, Yimach Shimon, came into Poland, Poland was still having an infantry on horses, and they came in and 3 days, the whole Polish army was gone. Not 3 weeks, not 3 months, not 3 years, 3 days, finished. Goodbye, 8 days, whatever, it's finished. An iron poker from a fireplace above the McGate, he's going to go to Chofetz Chaim, who needs a heater inside a wagon with 14 pillows, they're going to go fight, they're going to get out of the... Kumahel. What is that? I want each one of you to take upon yourself some serious nefesh. Why was the first place of Mikdash destroyed? First base of Mikdash was destroyed because of Zohar. Why was second base of Mikdash destroyed? Sinasina. Why was Mishkan destroyed? Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. The Gemara doesn't ask any questions. How come the base of Mikdash was almost destroyed by Hanukkah? It's an amazing thing. But the Bach asked the question. And the Bach says the answer is because we became lazier in Avodas Hashem. Nisrashil. In our Avodas Hashem, says the Bach, became lazy. And therefore, who were the people who held up the victory for Klal Yisrael? Who were they? What were they? Hint. What were they? Kohanim. Kohanim as Rizimheim. The opposite of Israshlus is Rizus. They came with Rizus, and 13 people could beat tens of thousands. And the Chofetz Chaim said it was still no gay in his day. The same thing could have happened. The Mechonon was Mavar, the same thing could have happened. Rabbah says, and Rebbe Megait. It's not Shaykh. Rebbe Megait. So the Chofetz Chaim would say that nowadays we don't even have who to fight nowadays. It's not about who are we fighting nowadays. What are we fighting nowadays? There's only one way to fight nowadays. Torah and mitzvahs. Torah and mitzvahs with mesiris nefesh to do Torah, to learn Torah, to comply with the Torah, to live a life with the Torah and mitzvahs. Without that, it's not shaykh. So I'm going to give a shiur tomorrow night for women. 8:30, Bez Hashem Yisbarach. 8:30. Chanukah. Tomorrow night at 8:30. I'm going to give a shiur for men, 5 to 9 on Tuesday. Huh? Right, no 7:45 Tuesday night. Tuesday night is going to be only one shiur at... Oh, will there be a shiur on Tuesday night? I'm not sure yet. I'm sorry. But Monday night is definitely a shiur. Monday night is a shiur for women at 8:30, Beth Hashem.
Where
will it be? Probably be in the overflow room. Unless the crowd turns into an overflow crowd and you have to move it to a different room. Okay? Okay, Rabbi Sait. So it's an unbelievable concept. Somebody called me from out of state. They want me to come speak. Bar Chinuch. I want to tell you something that I think I feel this way. Some people might disagree with me. I feel this way. I feel that I was lucky. I was lucky to grow up in the 60s and the 70s. I'll tell you why. Mickey Mantle was perceived as a clean-cut, wonderful human being. Nobody knew that he was a drunk who abused his wife. He was perceived as the all-American, clean-cut, clean-looking, wonderful Balmidas tzaddik. As a matter of fact, I'm embarrassed to say, but I've said it before, that after my father was shalom, I thought Mickey Mantle was the greatest person in the world. Baruch Hashem, at least I thought my father Shem was the best, and I thought it was Mickey Mantle, Baruch Hashem. Now, nowadays, what does a kid feel when the best athletes in sports, just give you one example, have tattoos over their entire body? I'm afraid to say the words, Wenn wird er rauskommen, denn es soll von unseren Kindern zu haben in Xavier's Kaka. You know what that means? When is in the Soyin Chas V'Shalom going to come out for our children to have a Ksoivis Kaka? Ksoivis Kaka tattoos. The Nivel Peh. The Hashchosa in their lifestyle. I even read by Rabbi Avigdor Miller. And I've said this before as well. Leave it to Beaver. He had a mother. He had a father. He respected his father. Respected his mother. They ate supper at a table. They did homework. They lived in a house. There was no nivel peh. There was respect. Everybody dressed with tznius. He was a kid who did some funny things in school. Lassie. I'm not saying, I would say bring it back and take you and get rid of everything else for sure. No shadow about it. I'm not saying that we should all go out and buy videos of reruns of Leave It to Beaver and Lassie, show it to our kids. I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying, but the Nisoyan nowadays. The Nisoyan. Somebody has to be willing to say a serious nefesh to go against the tide. I'm talking about kanoyas. So to go against the tide. Go against the tide. 13 people fought. Physically fought. Chaim said we could have done it against the Russian army. And the Baruch Bear is taking a poker out of the fireplace. It's a galech. It's a galech. But it's not, Rabbi Yisrael. It's not a galech, but it's Hanukkah. So Hanukkah is really all about. It's an unbelievable thing. Unbelievable. Okay, we should be Zechut to Hatzlacha Rabba. Yes.
Maybe perhaps that our biggest enemy is assimilation.
Our biggest enemy is assimilation. Our biggest enemy is the Yetzirah. I'm just saying that the manifestation of the Yetzirah now is I don't like the statement we're living in the worst of the times. All the times are the same. Yetzirah is a chameleon. And I'm not saying there was no Yetzirah in the middle of Lassie, in the middle of Leave the Viva. Plenty of people went off the Derech and plenty of people left Klal Yisrael. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's another Nisoyan now. That the Nisoyan is, and maybe this is part of the refuah, you can't have the shaykhus to the Welt and remain, I'm going to say some strong words here, and remain an Erlich Hayyid. You can't. Well, who am I going to emulate? So it was a false Welt, Ein Acharami. I did not know that Mickey Mantle was an abusive drunk. I thought he must have been a wonderful husband and a wonderful father. What else did I know about him? All he said are wonderful things about him. You know, it was called Camelot, right? Everybody thought that the JFK was a Tzaddik Nister. Or a Tzaddik Nigla. Who knows what he was. I'm not here to talk about them in the negative response. I'm talking about the fact that that's how he grew up. But that's not how everybody grows up nowadays. This president was Mazana, this president this. So, not that the historians are writing it 100 years later. But beyond writing it. What's a kid supposed to do? Assimilation. Assimilation is a manifestation of the fact that it's in our faces. We can't interact with society because society is so different than us. There's no shaykhs. I said to him, my fire cousins growing up, the Goyish neighbors down the block, all had a mother and father, all did homework, all went home for supper, all spent time with their parents, all listened to their parents. Not the shot nowadays. Who would allow their kid to think of a kid to go into a Goyish neighbor's house? Nowadays, what? Hanukkah. Take out the fire from the yontif. As Hashem is brought, we shall be zeichus. Thank you all for coming. We shall have only simplest.